Welcome to the Content Creator's Guide. This is a place where we expand our knowledge on what it takes to be successful in an ever-expanding world of content creation. Join me as I sit down with individuals sharing their success stories and tips that help them get over the hurdles they faced on their journey to creation success. All right, let's create.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Content Creator's Guide. I will be your host, Patrick Conway, also known in other circles as Jaxus. Today, I will be talking to the creator of the True Vault Excavades, who has been doing the radio drama thing since like 2016. And he is approaching close to 500,000 downloads. That is huge. Anyway, please welcome back my guest, Preston Harden. Welcome back. How you doing?
Glad to be back. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. So today we're going to be kind of discussing plot lines and pacing, if I'm not correct. Correct?
That's right.
Real quick, if you're listening, can you please go down and hit the subscribe button? That would be awesome. You know, let everybody know that you actually want to hear my shows. You can also, you know, go to your favorite podcast or wherever you might be listening. And please set a review and, you know, follow all that fun stuff. Thank you. Moving on. Anyway, let's get started with plot lines. Let me begin with, where do you draw inspiration for your plot lines?
Ooh, well, just like what the show's based off of, Nick Carter, Master Detective, but not just that show in particular, but I got a lot of inspiration from how old-time radio detective shows would pace their plots, just, you know, and that applies to, like, say, Law and Order or CSI. There's a murder, and there's detectives come, find clues, and try to solve the case and make my little twists along the way to make it interesting. So it does draw direct inspiration from things. It's not really my own way of pacing things. It's very much in a old detective pattern that's as old as time.
So you do take it. So you do take a lot of like different plot lines and things from like old TV shows or radio shows and just kind of revamp them to fit yourself.
Exactly. And I just like how Bethesda does, in which, you know, they make the game Fallout and the show takes place in Fallout. They make a lot of their own radio shows, like Herbert Daring Dashwood or The Silver Shroud or all of those unstoppable radio shows they make in game. Theirs are a little more cheesy. Mine, I keep it cheesy for the sake of it being.
You don't. No. All right. So to me, your shows are on an epic level in my mind. Okay. I really, you downplay what you do so much, and it's driving me nuts right now. Cause like, look, Walter and Bunny are brilliant. And then I have to say the Cage Chronicles, I am engrossed in those deeply.
Now I'm glad.
Okay. I play a very small little bit roles, so I don't really have that big of a stake in these as of yet.
You've got some good ones coming next.
Yeah. So, but you know, it's not so much about me there. I really and truly enjoy listening to your shows, and I mean all of them. So there's a lot of good writing in there, and there's a lot of thought put into it. That's the thing that I enjoy, is that it's very I want to say thought provoking, but it does create thought process. But at the same time, it's just, you can tell that a lot of thought was put into each element. You thought about who you were writing about, what the story was, where it's going, how it's doing it. And it's something to really sink your teeth in. And I think that that's something actually some of our other machinima people or radio drama elements could actually pull some good ideas from you on that. And vice versa, of course. But I see that, you know, you've been in this game a little longer than some of the others. And
yes.
I think that you've gone through more trials and tribulations, especially, you know, considering starting from barely, you didn't even have the software available that they had,
right.
You know, so things definitely have changed for you. In lines of inspiration, so you did take from shows. What are some plot lines that you think are the best to like stay away from?
Ooh, what are the best plot lines to stay away from? That's something I don't even know I pondered, but I can definitely think of, What can I stay away from? You know, you got me there because I don't know. Maybe it's because I stick to such a tried and true pattern. I don't even think about the things I should avoid in terms of plot lines. I avoid certain aspects. Maybe something that's predictable. I try to stay away from things that are a little too predictable. Sometimes people can guess the things that I put in the show and they'll be like, oh, I saw that from a mile away, or I suspected that. But I try to do my best, especially with twists, which I like to do a lot. My little M. Night Shyamalan twists I like to pull at the end. I try to keep the viewers a little distracted from, say, discovering, I don't know, the identity of a villain at the end, or something that may happen. Just I guess that's the answer. I try not to make a very predictable plot line or a twist, pretty much.
You want to keep them guessing all the way to the end.
Oh, yes, all the time. Yeah. It's fun.
Do you have a list of plots that you like are that are your tried and trues, like particular ones that you like to use over and over again, or just kind of, you know, twist them up a little bit, you know?
Yeah. My most regular version is with the Casket storyline. Casket, my evil villain who is always trying to traffic Bunny. He is the constantly non-dying character, and every time he has returned, it has been in just this very like, oh, like I try to keep that going in a very like, that was very unexpected kind of way. Like the first time you're introduced to him, the second time something happens, and say Walter will find a clue that very, very vaguely connects to Casket, and Bunny will be like, oh my gosh, who could have done this? And Bunny could, like, Walter can just be like, oh, I know who does this, and only one man does this, it's Casket. And then everybody's like, whoa. And I try to, with the Casket storylines, keep that a regular trend, just pulling him out of my sleeve out of nowhere. And the next thing you know, it's a whole Casket episode. So
it's Walter's Moriarty.
Yes, exactly.
Moriarty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm having tongue problems today. Yeah. I just take it, throw it off. So what advice would you give somebody that's like writing for their first time, trying to really get their storylines together, and they've got their, let's say they've got their, you know, their characters together. They've mm-hmm. got their main plot figured out, like their main, every storyline's got a major overarching plot that they hold to. And then in between that, if it's an episodic element, they're always going to have those inner plots. So yeah. When you got somebody that's trying to figure out how to do something like that, what's a little advice that you would give somebody to help some? Now, mind you, they may not be doing a crime show. They might be doing a romance. They might be doing something else. And so being that the genre is not necessarily, you know, that's vague, let's make it a little more vague and a little more broad. What advice would you give somebody that's trying to figure out how to do a plot in sequential like elements of having episodic shows?
Yeah. Coming from someone who used to literally freehand my plots and just see where the story goes, I have learned to root out those plot point issues. So I do it in a very simple, very repetitive format. I have a general idea for the plot, and what I usually do is, and something I can definitely suggest to people who are doing this, is to figure out what happens at the very end of your show or episode or whatever it may be. Write that down. I literally have a notebook that I keep that logs every plot point of every episode so I don't forget. So like I said, whereas I used to just type and see where things took me, now I have wised up and started being very meticulous with it. So what I like to do is write the ending, not the beginning, and figure out how you get to the end if you have not figured out those prior points yet. And I found that for some reason, I don't know if it's like reverse psychology in a weird way, it works for me because you're not like trying to brainstorm and write the plot points at the same time. Just find out the ending, where you want it to leave off, get that down, and work in those points that happened before, I found the process to be a lot easier. And once I have that down, if there's any room for anything in between those plot points you wrote down, say there's five of them, work those in if you can, because I don't know what it is. I just found that random little musings will pop up in my head and I'll be like, well, wait, this will be great in between these two plot points before we move on to the next big one. Let's just, you know, write all the little ideas in between we can to increase, you know, just content quality. And that's exactly how I do all the new episodes now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and I find that that's actually kind of a common occurrence, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
I've spoken to a few other writers, obviously, and they have a tendency to actually try to figure out where they're going with their story. Yeah. And then where they begin at, and basically their character creation, and they come up with all their characters. And what they do is they find out what the end of their story, where they want to end up, the end of their story. And then they fill everything in as they go. So that's actually,
I'm not original.
So that seems to be a common thread that I've found in writers, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And obviously it works, you know, I mean,
yeah, I don't have an original experience. I just found this out
you got to remember, you did a lot of trial and error to get where you are.
Yeah, so, that is true.
Yeah,
that is true.
These guys, you know, some of them might have been professional writers to begin with. Who knows?
Could have.
I don't know. You know,
there's some great stuff out there. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's not always an interview that I've done that gets me those answers. I just sometimes I'm like looking along and I'll read something and find out that a lot of people actually start their beginning of their stories with the ending that they want. And I'm like, oh, okay. Oh.
Well, there you go.
I've been inspiring to try to write something myself. So it's, you know, that's kind of where that comes from, is doing research.
Oh, and you should do it. You'd be great at it.
That's why I pick your brains. Yeah. I want to know what's going on inside your nuggets. Yeah, it's a trap. So far in the stories that you've done, as far as the True Vault Excapades, blah, 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 blah. It's the mouth thing again. What was your favorite like plot that you've actually come across, or your favorite episode that you've had to deal with?
Ooh, let's see. I think just off the first thing that came to my head was the case of the Black Widow, which was season 2's finale, I believe. And of course I love to leave a season off with something crazy, which was, Bunny being undercover the whole time, no Walter involved. Bunny is putting on this ridiculous country accent, and she is hanging out with some high roller in Vegas named Vaughn. We know nothing about Vaughn, and they keep getting constantly attacked and probed by different people, and it leaves the viewer questioning, what is she doing? What is this all about? Only for at the very end for Walter to pull up in the car, Bunny to turn off the persona, and they arrest Vaughn, only to figure out that he was part of the plan to have Benny shoot the courier in Good Springs at the beginning of Fallout New Vegas. And they're trying to, you know, find the platinum chip. Yes. And I just loved the buildup. I loved just how subtle everything was. It's just, okay, this is clearly Bunny. You hear her say like, oh, he's coming at the beginning in her regular voice. And then the moment he comes in, she switches to the country kind of Southern Belle accent. So I was just imagining what my viewers, or my listeners rather, were imagining in that point. So yeah, I love holding secrets and then just exploding them on everybody.
That was actually quite an interesting episode. I remember that one. So yeah, that was very cool for me.
Fun one.
All right. When it comes to plot lines, what do you think is a very important thing that the listener needs to know about plot lines?
Oh, that's a good question. First thing that comes to mind is make them make sense. I really encourage going over every plot line you created, like with a fine tooth comb. Because especially if you're trying to pull twists or hold secrets that get revealed later, it is very easy to fall into the plot hole area. And I won't lie, there have been some small minor ones that I've like gotten myself into before, and I attribute that to probably not thinking too deep on some of these plot lines that I do. So I would definitely avoid not thinking it through.
That way you
Just
don't
try.
end up in a rabbit hole, you don't know where it goes.
Exactly. I try
Yeah.
to explore all of the different things like an audience member could ask you like, hey, so when this happened, why wasn't this discovered earlier when so and so did this? And then they'll hit me with like I'm like, oh, ooh, good question. Now
I
I got to
didn't think
come
of
up with an
that.
elaborate excuse.
It's not true, but hey, you know, eh, sounds good.
Yes, exactly.
All right. That see now that was something that I wanted to, get into is like, well, what if the plot line, like, have you ever had a plot line where you thought it was going one direction and it ended up changing on you while you were in the middle of it?
Oh yes. And I wish I can think of some more accurate examples. I know the feeling though, so I know that's true to me. I just gotta think of an episode or something where that happened. I want to say, yeah. Oh, okay. I want to say maybe in the first five episodes of True Wild Escapades. Like I've said in my own podcast that the show had a completely different premise than what it ended up being. It wasn't particularly something that was in the final product, but like for instance, instead of me making my own vault and Walter and Bunny meet, and then there's this whole separate area of the wasteland that hasn't been touched by Bethesda, Bunny was originally supposed to be from Vault 101, and Walter was supposed to be a wasteland detective that sneaks into Vault 101 because there's some espionage, and Bunny was supposed to be this lavish singer or dancer or actress within the vault, and she had no bravado to her like she does in the final series. And
Wow, she changed
Walter,
quite
yeah,
a
she
bit.
was the and her name was supposed to be Kitty instead of Bunny at the time, and Walter was going to
Got a thing
be.
about animal names, don't you?
There is something, I don't know where I got that from. I think it was from an Edward G. Robinson movie that I heard Bunny or Kitty said to a girl very briefly, and it just clicked for me. But the premise of the entire show itself, it was literally supposed to be five episodes and no more. And when I thought about potentially making more, I was like, well, if they're in Vault 101 and they solve the mystery, I mean, I can't mess with the lore. I mean, there's already a Fallout 3 and there's stuff that goes on. I don't want to tamper with that. So that's when I moved it to Texas in this remote location that's been untouched and the sky's the limit. And that made the whole premise of their characters very different. Shoot, when it comes to plot lines, I have a lot of scribble out plot lines in my book that I did not go with that I wish I can tell you now, but I've probably flushed it down the annals of my brain. Because I was probably embarrassed by them. But
So
yeah.
all right, so you've had a lot, quite a few of them actually start here, and then they just take a sharp left on you, and you're like, oh, okay, so we're going here, guys.
Exactly, exactly.
Now, is there a way that you kind of like now keep yourself on track? Is it just knowing where the ending is, or is there something that you do to help yourself stay on point while you're writing out the rest of the story through the plot?
Yes, writing the ending has been my biggest helper of all time because I want to say between 2016 and perhaps 2018, I was freehanding the whole thing, and there were a lot of times where I've wasted time, like just hitting a roadblock basically because I just freehand it, no planning, and I have an idea of how the story's going to go in my head, but
You don't know where it ends up.
I don't know where it ends up. I hit a brick wall, and so sometimes it requires me to go back and erase an entire section and then do something else. And that's when I started to write it out because I was getting a little too caught up. And sometimes episodes would end up being longer than other episodes because I would just, like I said, I'd freehand it and it would just be like a run-on script, and some of them would be more controlled. But I just keep with the writing the ending part. I think it controls so much for me because it's like a line. There's the ending, and you're free to do with whatever you want before, but just you know, that's the ending. Don't mess with it. Don't go ahead of it, you know? So it just keeps things orderly, which is something
stop
I need.
Stop once you get there.
Yeah, exactly. Dead end ahead.
All right, guys. So we're going to, that kind of finishes up with plots. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and talk about pacing.
Right. I'm your host, Maverick Stone.
It's me, Gingerino 42.
I'm Romer.
Hey, this is Sassy Lady.
And I'm Jaxus. And we are the Fallout Roundtable. Join us as we explore various topics from the Fallout universe brought from multiple perspectives. We can be found on your favorite podcatchers from Spotify to iTunes. Or follow us on Twitter at FalloutRTB or our email FalloutRTB@gmail.com. Be sure to rate, follow, and subscribe. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the message. All right. So we're going to kind of get into some pacing questions here. And it kind of, we'll try to stay on the tracks. It doesn't always work out, but, you know, that's how it is. So, all right. I'm going to start off with what's the importance of pacing in a radio drama?
Depending on the mood of the episode, like, for instance, I've got some pretty action-packed episodes and some slower-paced dramatic episodes. I think pacing is very important, especially when it's, if you're adhering to a certain type of energy to the episode, I would definitely try to match the pacing with it. Like when I have an action-packed episode, for instance, I usually keep the pacing when it comes to the conversational scenes, of course, quality, but a little shorter so we can get to the next piece of action. And maybe that's just the way I do it, but when I have like a very much a shoot 'em up episode, then I want to focus more on the shoot 'em up than the talking. And if I have a more dramatic episode, I want to try and evoke more emotion and keep things nice and slow. Anything that will relate to the general mood of the episode. And also, if it's not about all that, then just pacing is really good when you just want to have great character development and story development and like environment development, even just anything to set the scene in whatever you're trying to make. Pacing is very important for that, because you definitely don't want to move too quickly. You also don't want to move too slow. But it's just a very good thing to consider when you have, say, the plot points we talked about earlier, and you look over them and you're like, okay, is this going to be too long? Is this going to be too short? Really try to imagine the final product in your head when it comes to the pacing. That's my tidbit of advice there.
So dealing with a product that is non-visual, you're dealing with a podcast and sound. How do you get your pacing utilizing just sound? You know, I mean, like you were talking about an action scene, for instance. Well, I mean, you can only hear, oh no, duck, so often before, you know what I mean? So it's like you're creating this engaging element and it's action packed, but at the same time, you know, they can't see anything, so it's all in their imagination. So, you know, obviously there's dialogue involved with the
pacing. Oh, yes.
So how do you utilize dialogue to help the pacing of an action sequence?
Well, that one I can definitely give props to the old-time radio shows, because they do that as well. They will actively describe what is going on as the action is happening. Sometimes there are good little gray areas that you can leave to the audience to imagine. You don't want to like describe every little bullet that's whizzing by or whatever. But for instance, it's like there's the battle scene I had in the Legend of the Star episode where Walter, Bunny, Humphreys are in the NCR soldiers are moving in on Alan Marks and
That's right. He was hiding inside the building and his girlfriend was trying to trick him into coming out at one point.
Yeah. And so I'll basically have Humphreys, for instance, who was taking charge in that scene. He describes, okay, me and the soldiers are going to post up here on top of this. I think they were like in this on this hill sort of mound or something. And I remember I make sure Walter and Bunny describe how they are behind it, behind like a rock or something, getting ready to fire. And so when the action starts to pop off and there's bullets and explosions going everywhere, and I want not everybody to be so static, I'll have like Walter say, "Bunny, get behind that other rock," or "I'm gonna go over here and do this position," or "I'm gonna go prone and snipe and use a sniper," or something like that. And if there's, say, like a incoming grenade, then I'm gonna have someone yell out grenade, or like get duck down, or something like that. Yeah. So it's kind of like playing sort of like Call of Duty, but you just block the screen, hear the action, you'll hear some dialogue telling you that something's coming, or do this, or I'm gonna do this. And you do that as the combat
action narrative.
Yeah, you don't want to be too specific, because it's gonna be like, why are you saying I'm going to reload reload like this certain type of bullets and shoot four times? Like, you don't have to say all that. You can just get a general picture of what's going on and try to describe it. Or narration is also very good. Some of the other podcasts that are in our network, they have narrators, and the narrators will explain what's going on, so the characters don't have to do that. So that's also a really, I think that's a little easier, actually, if you have a narrator, because they umbrella the whole thing. So either one works, but whatever your poison is, just pick that. But if you want to do it the way I do, then I would just little by little describe the actions of the
using your characters.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, because you don't have a narrator, so
exactly, yeah.
Yours is a full-on drama. It's like, it's not a narrative drama, you know.
Right. Yeah.
There is definitely differences there, and I never really, until I started doing these interviews, I didn't really think about it that much. I was just like, oh, cool story. There's so many different styles with all you guys. It's really interesting. Have you ever had a situation where your pacing was off, and how bad did it affect your story?
Ooh. Oh, yes. it makes me cringe to this day, but episode 5 of the first season of the show, which is called War Never Changes, the finale, it features my character, Officer O'Neill, the Australian, played by Michael Onley. He is injured. He gets shot in the gut by Bunny and is interrogated by the pair. And they're trying to get the whole story of why this whole espionage thing is happening and people are dying. And so I wanted to have someone explain the whole story. And instead of just sort of, I don't know, paraphrasing a few things, he goes on like this, like a 10-minute rant while he is coughing up blood and literally dying on the floor and providing flashbacks for the audience. And I've actually had a few people tell me that years ago. They're like, I love this, but this was a little too long right here. I mean, he was bleeding out for like 20 minutes telling the story. And that was the biggest pacing mistake, I suppose you could say, I think I've made. There's probably been a few more, but that bothered me so bad after making that. I did the due diligence to improve. I didn't want to have long dying rants.
And what did you do?
Coughing. I simply, for instances where someone is dying, I would either have them completely paraphrase that, or even then just have them give a big piece of information to, say, the detectives before dying, and then they fill in the rest later, or find someone else who can tell them the story, just simply put. I think my biggest problem when it comes to pacing is drawn out scenes sometimes. And I do believe recently I've gotten better at that, but in some older episodes in general, there can be talking scenes that go on and on and on. And I even today will go back and be like, what was I thinking? Like, it looked so much smaller on paper, but now that it's recorded, it's pretty darn long. I wish it was a little bit cut short there. So I do my best to find better ways at, say, explaining a plot twist or a plot line to the audience instead of having one person in one scene just go on this tangent. Maybe it can be explained in smaller bits or in a shorter way. I guess I'm a run-on writer sometimes.
I guess your advice to the beginner writer or whatnot would be to be very careful not to have one singular character give too much information and to maybe think about it a little bit ahead of time.
Yeah. And at least if one character is going to provide that information, I would definitely advise to not have them spill it all out all at once. I can't really think of anything specific that can remedy that off the top of my head, but it's really as simple as not just letting it all go in one moment in the show. Just maybe have them discover half of what the problem is and then the other half on the other half of the show or just little bits at a time. So, yeah, it doesn't have to be all just basically throw up all over the dialogue.
Is there any advice that you would give a new creator when dealing with, like, say, we're going kind of back to plots, but like picking a new plot and then properly pacing their adventure as they go? Is there advice that you obviously know your ending, but is there something else that you could give them as a piece of advice on creating a new plot and how to pace it?
When it comes to the first part with plots, I would do my best to make the next plot nowhere near the same as the last one. I do my best to weigh the different aspects between the last episode versus this next episode. You want to provide some kind of variety. And if you're going to go back to, say, the same kind of plot as an earlier episode, I would do my best to space that out before revisiting it again, just to keep it lively and keep it full of variety, pretty much. When it comes to the pacing part, I'm also learning this as I go along. Try to provide also variety with the pacing, maybe with, like we last said, the plot or the twist or whatever it could be, instead of it being explained by one character or a couple of characters, maybe you can explain it in a flashback this time and have a whole B plot of flashbacks that coincide with the A plot and make them sort of kind of come together. I think the possibilities are endless, but I think just variety is the key term here, because I found that variety both within the episodes and within the plot lines are just, I think that's just more of a recipe for a more successful show.
Okay. So, all right. Outside of plots and pacing, what are some advice that you would give or that you would like to share with aspiring creators that, are kind of writers, and things like that? What would be some advice you would like to give to them?
What would be some good advice I'd like to give to them?
In general, doesn't have to do anything with plots or pacing.
Oh, okay. I would say when you reach a roadblock in your script, which you're undoubtedly going to find, like a writer's block, oh my God, it's bad. Give yourself a day. It's weird. When you wake up the next day, you'll probably have a slew of new ideas that were completely inaccessible to you yesterday. I found that gives just my scripts a lot more breath, a lot more creativity. The moment I hit a writer's block moment, if it doesn't come to me within like an hour, I will literally just put it down. Because I don't want to risk, I would not want anyone to risk forcing something out to fill in that missing part that they're trying to look for. I would literally just give it a sleep, even nap. I know it's kind of a different kind of answer, but I found that writer's block is the most annoying thing to deal with. But I do think if you try to bully through it a little too hard, I think you could sacrifice a lot of quality. So I would just like pace yourself, take it slow. Don't, it doesn't, like, the answers for everything doesn't have to happen today. So
don't be afraid to take a break.
Yeah, take a break. Don't be afraid to. Don't call yourself lazy because you just want to put it down. Like, literally, just, it's weird how easy things will come to you after you're rested.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's next, man? What do you got coming up?
Well, I'm sure you're aware that there's some season 6 action getting voiced and recorded right now. I have about 5, 6, maybe 7. No, I think I have about 7 full episodes written out of the 10 of season 6. And this is the first time that we're going to be coming back to Walter and Bunny for everything, because we did the Cage Chronicles this last season. And that was really fun. But now I've seen a lot of people are like, let's bring back Walter and Bunny. Okay, let's go. And so now I am getting Eric Huffman to record Walter, and Crystal, who voices Bunny, is actually out of her place right now, so I have to wait on her. But really, I'm just scrambling like fighter jets to get all these new characters, big and small, voice, so we can get the show on the road. And I'm having a lot of fun writing it. And there's a crossover special, by the way. I wanted to say there's the last season was BioShock mixes with the show, and I don't want to say what this next franchise is going to be, but it's going to be really good. It's going to be a bigger franchise than BioShock, that's going to be intermixing with the detectives. And it's probably going to be the longest episode I've ever written on anything. So that's exciting. Might have to split it, actually. So yeah, lots of fun, exciting stuff happening.
2 episodes.
Yeah.
All right. So where can you be found? How can people find you?
People can find True Vault Escapades literally anywhere they get podcasts. My most popular streaming place is Spotify, and then there's Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and all those places. I've got Twitter, where the main updates are posted. So that is at A-Bomb Radio, like A-Bomb Radio, an A-Bomb. And I'm also on Facebook at A-Bomb Radio as well, and we have a Patreon if anybody would like to explore that and support the show. There's a lot of exclusive merch for everybody, so that's always been fun to provide for people. So yes, please enjoy the show. If you haven't listened to it, it is a long one, so you know, enjoy it on a car ride or something.
Oh, I mean, it'll keep you busy for a few weeks listening to all of the True Vault Excavates.
Yeah, clean your house to it. Yeah,
yeah, it takes a while to get caught up. So just,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some pacing there for sure.
All right.
Thank you everyone for joining me and my guest, and please check out all of his content. Please be sure to like and subscribe. Please send me your questions and your comments to @creatorsguide on Twitter, or using email, you can go to ccreatorsguide@gmail.com. Send me all your questions, comments, whatever you'd like to send me there. I will check it as often as possible, because you know, I'm a flake sometimes, man. I'm sorry. But you can find my show on YouTube or anywhere you get, you know, play podcasts, like anywhere they play podcasts. I don't think there's a single podcast I'm not on somewhere. Please write the reviews and rate the show. And thank you again. And keep creating. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
How well do you know your video game lovers?
Have you ever wondered how your video game bays stack up against all the other delectable digital dates?
I'm Genesis, the girl whose motto in life is love, laugh, tequila. And on Two Girls, One Ship, we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer.
And I'm Vervada, the hopeless romantic cat lady and lifelong gamer.
But you should know that our podcast centers on character and romance analysis and doesn't shy away from exploring the fun of physical connection.
Or from the deep emotional connections built between two characters, using specific in-game dialogue and the overall narrative journey. So join the Two Girls, One Ship shipsters, and remember,
beauty is in the eye of the controller.